like animals without the Holy Spirit. The animal, if the animal gets hungry, he eats. When he gets tired, he sleeps. You know, whatever that, you know. So it's the flesh. It's what controls everything. You know, what your heart, they say, well, follow your heart. Let me tell you what the Bible says about your heart. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked, and that no man can know it. It's evil, continuously evil, or how is it worded? I know it like the back of my hand. The heart is desperately wicked. Anyway, it's wicked and evil. I'll get out, and when I'm laying in bed tonight, I'll come up with it. And no man can know it. So it's so you know, your heart's not always the best guide in life. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God, what's gonna guide you? It's gonna be your heart, your flesh, your mind. What you want to do? What's in your heart? That's what you want to do. And so that means if you're controlled by the natural self, that means that your priorities are dominated by your natural self, which is carnal, which means worldly, and have worldly desires. That's what dictated. And if you look back, if you've been saved any amount of time, and you look back at your old life, yeah, that was pretty much what it was, wasn't it? That's what dictated what you did. I mean, what we all want to do, you know, what everything is controlled by that. It's apart from God. It has to be. Now, Satan, he gets involved in this deal here. He wants to help us. And so he attacks the mind. We got distracted minds, disengaged minds, discouraged minds, distraught minds, depressed minds, and all those things come from Satan. I like what Harold Vaughn said this, and it stuck with me, and he said that no negative thoughts come from God. Negative thoughts, evil, you know, bad thoughts don't come from God. But even as Christian people, sometimes we get these negative thoughts. We get, and we get distracted, and we get disengaged with everybody. And I think the distracted mind is really the biggest ploy that Satan uses today. That's what's behind all the busyness. Everybody's busy. Running. Man, we got a million irons in the fire. And we got cell phones, man. We've got social media contact. I mean, I was talking with not that long ago, I remember when there wasn't any cell phones. I remember sitting up there at Route 28 and Route 7 up in Sterling, Virginia, sitting there in the car, and Grease Man was on DC 101, and he was talking about the cellular phone. And he said, man, you can call from wherever you're at, only $30 a month. And I'm thinking back then, you know, I'm thinking, man, ain't nobody gonna... You know, a few people, but people aren't going to spend $30 a month on a cell phone. And he goes, yeah, I got one. He goes, they gave me one. It's really pretty cool, man. You can be driving in the car. Listen, like, we're looking like, this was big deal. You know, we're talking back in the 80s, man. I mean, this was a big deal. Nobody's going to talk on the phone. Nobody. And I said, ain't nobody going to spend $30 a month. Don't we wish? Huh? 130 maybe, huh? 130, man. Now, of course, you know, we make more than we did then. But, I mean, I thought about that, and here it is. So you got phones, and you got internet, you got a computer, you got all that's going on. Everything's distracting your mind. And, you know, it's got to where you can't really have a deep conversation with anybody. Now, Satan don't want you. This is the bottom of it. I'll give you the answer. He don't want you thinking. He don't want you to think. We don't like thinking. It's tiring. We want somebody to do the thinking for us. He doesn't want you to think. And you can't have a deep conversation with somebody because this is what will happen. You standing around in here, you're trying to talk to somebody about something, and little Johnny or something, he'll just go trotting by and they'll be talking. You're talking to him serious. Oh, wait, don't do that. Well, come here. Oh, isn't that cute? Huh? Look at that. People looking all around. You know, you can't talk to them, honestly. And if the phone, Lord knows, if the phone buzzes while you're talking to them, it's over. Because whatever's on that phone is more important than you. That's just the way it is. I mean, they get up, they're going to drop you, and they got to find out what it is. And video, I was thinking about the video age. We were talking about this, Sherry and Julie and I were talking out there on the porch about video age has kind of ruined us as far as thinking goes. How many of you ever read a book? And I know the young people are going, read a book? How many of you ever read a book and then a movie came out about whatever the book was you read? How many of you, was the movie just like you thought it would look? No. Why? Because you had your imagination. I remember when all the Hobbit stuff came out, I was probably 15 or 16 years old. And I read all the books. Man, I went on my big hunting trip down Great. I'd get up in the morning, man, I'd be reading the book, and I'd picture all that stuff. And then the movies came out. And the movie's cool. I mean, it's got all kind of, but it isn't the way I pictured it, right? It's not the way. I had to use my imagination. But see, kids today, I think this is a bad influence on kids. Kids today, they're just in video, man. They don't want to read a book. They don't want, you know, everything's in video. And I think it's being an influence. What the influence is it teaches the kids not to think for themselves. It's too easy. See, they can look at the video and just have the thinking done. But the thing is, the video is somebody else's imagination, not yours. See, when we read, man, we thought, you know, we pictured it out, man. So we've gotten so busy. Who sits around thinking anymore in the quiet, meditating on anything, much less the Word of God, right? There was a time, not that long ago, when people sat around on the porch in the evening. You only had three channels, and if you got out in the sticks, like in the mountains where my great-grandmother lived, you only had one channel, and it didn't come in good. I had the snow, fuzzy-looking picture. Young people are going to go, what's he talking about? But us older people, we know, right? You couldn't see the picture. And we sat there, and you sat around and thought about stuff. Nobody be talking. Well, that's the third car that went by in the last 35 minutes. That's it. You know, but you got to, and Satan doesn't want us to get to thinking in our mind. Because you will ultimately start thinking, and if God starts speaking to you, you'll start thinking about eternity, death, grave. You know, we don't want to think about that, so we distract our mind. There's a comedian that I listen to a lot, and he uses a lot of, the older guy now, but he uses a lot of real life things for his comedy, and it's all true. How many of you remember this? Now you got to have age on you remember this. Number one, back when before we had cell phones, we had the old dial phone, rotary phone. Some of you young people ought to go ahead and find you a rotary phone and just play with it, man. Yeah, you can hear it now in your head, can't you? All y'all that had one, you hear it. You put your finger in, like if you, and if it was like a 9 or an 8, you had a big number, you had to roll it around. Next number. Huh? You had to dial the number, boy. People would die while you're trying to dial 911. Huh? And I mean, but here's the thing. But the thing was, the phone would ring. And this is what he was talking about. He said, we sit out on the front porch, and the phone would start ringing in the house. And it would literally have to ring 20 times. Remember, y'all, come on, y'all bob your head up now. Remember this. I'm not getting it. I got it last time. You get it. Now, Johnny, get in there and get that phone. Oh, my, I don't want to go answer. Remember that? Now, look, man, you could be talking about somebody dying. I mean, you could be talking about somebody. You're crying. Oh, man, you know, my spouse just passed away. My kid died. And something like that. And the phone, wait a minute. I got to see what it is. We can't even wait. Huh? We can't wait, honestly. Satan's distracting our mind from thinking about anything that's important. And what this comedian said, he said, you know why nobody wanted to go answer the phone? Because what was going on the porch was a whole lot more important than what was going to be on the other end of that phone. We done lost our priority on this stuff. Huh? It's really kind of rude, right? If I'm talking to you and the phone rings and you say, well, I got to get the call now, unless you know it's, you know, something. But that means that whoever it is, they don't even know yet. They're more important than you are. Huh? That's what it says. It's really, but this is what we got into. We got into this place. People run out of the church because the phone busts. Leave weddings because they got to see what's on the phone. Funerals. Get up and go outside. I'll be preaching funeral. I got it on the sidewalk. It can't wait. Another 25 minutes? Get so distracted by Satan has got you? Are you carnally minded or spiritual minded? Huh? I mean, if you can't preaching, people can't stay off their phone while preaching's going on. Got the crickets, Daryl? Huh? Yeah. Ain't nobody laughing because they say, yeah, we know. People texting while preaching's going. The word of God going out. But they're texting that somebody and they think that's more important than the word of God. What do you think God thinks of it? It's a distracted mind. Now, we are influencers too. And if you go through the Old Testament and you read, you know how, and if you've read your Bible a lot, you'll know what I'm talking about. The Old Testament kings, you know, it'd say that, you know, such and such a king was this long, he was a king, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and then he died, and then his son became king. And lots of times, not every time, but lots of times, and it says that he did as his father, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. So I'm going to imagine, you know, we do get influenced by what our parents do, good, bad, or indifferent, how they talk, what they do, where they dress, where they go, what vices they might have. You may be influenced that. You could be influenced negatively or positively by a negative influence that may cause you to go the other way. But, you know, this happens. And so the Bible talks, Solomon, it's the wisest man that was. He asked God for wisdom. God gave it to him. I believe he was the wisest man that ever was. Wrote most of the Proverbs. It said when he got old, his heart was turned away from God to the false gods of his wives. Now, he made a lot of mistakes. He married foreign wives he shouldn't have. He multiplied wives he shouldn't have. But those wives, they influenced him to start worshiping false gods. Think about the stuff we got into when we was kids. How did we? Somebody influenced you. I remember one day I got up on Saturday morning. I shared this story with you before, but not everybody's probably here or they weren't paying attention. Stay with me now. How many of you thinking the wrong thing? Focus. Don't be thinking about something else. I was a little kid, bebopping Saturday morning, went right down my street, Dermot Avenue, got down there where the road turned, and there was an old creek thing, and it went to the lake, and there's the gang, man. Looked like little rascals. Everybody's on their bicycles. Hey, you got any money? We're going to get some weeds. Now, we weren't talking about marijuana. We hadn't got to that yet. It was talking about cigarettes. We're going to get some weeds, man. I said, we're going to smoke cigarettes. Now, I wasn't thinking about smoking cigarettes when I went out the door. Yeah, we're going to get 35-cent pack, folks. We had to come up with 35 cents. Everybody put their little money together. Danny Sneed, nicknamed Rat. Danny Sneed was going to ride on the handlebars. Somebody drove him on a bicycle down to the corner, down to Alley's down there, a little store, ride down there. He goes down there and he bought, they were advertising, I think it was the ones that had the charcoal filter, Larks or something like that, Territon, I don't remember what it was. Anyway, one had a charcoal filter. Said we figured our parents wouldn't smell it. Wrong. I wasn't thinking about doing that. I wasn't going to do it. Guess what? All my buddies was going to do it. Man, my heart. I remember when they said we're going to smoke cigarettes. My heart jumped up in here. Well, you got to do it. You're going to look like a wimp. They call you a name, right? Huh? You got to do it. I didn't inhale, though. I was like Bill Clinton, man. I didn't inhale. I'm telling you, man. I didn't. But what happened, what I'm saying is, that wasn't on my mind when I went out the door. I was going out to have fun, which was doing nothing. But, you know, get in there and, what are y'all doing? They're all gathered up. You knew something was going on. We're going to get some cigarette weeds, you know. We're going to smoke them. Anyway, I didn't like them, and I never did smoke them. But there's a bad influence. And then it says there's a saving influence. See, we see that in the Bible. And it says in our text, it said, but to be spiritually minded is life. And notice this, it said, and peace. Life and peace. What an illustration I just gave you. When they said, we're going to get cigarettes, I didn't have peace. Man, my heart jumped up in here because now I got a conflict. I didn't really want to do it, but I didn't want to look like a wimp. You know, pride, right? Satan, pride. Didn't want to look and say, hey, all the knuckleheads, man, I ain't smoking them things. I did later on when they, I said, I didn't like them. Gave me a headache. They said, well, you get used to that. I don't want to get used to it. But to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Yeah, you don't have all that stress in your life when you're spiritually minded. You know, you don't have it. And so the spiritual mind is guided and surrendered to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, you have to have the Holy Spirit. I mean, salvation has to come first. That's why we're down there at verse 9. It's telling us that. I'll get to that at the end. But You have to have the Spirit of God, and then we have to listen to the leading of the Spirit of God, and He's going to lead us to peace. And now we're not controlled by the old nature, but we're controlled by the supernatural nature. The Holy Spirit of God is guiding us in our life. And and we have the Word of God, and then we read the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit of God influences us to move in a certain direction. And listen, that's a positive influence. And then we can have a positive influence for Christ on those around us. 1 Corinthians 7:16 says, For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Now, it's not saying that they have the power for salvation. Your wife cannot save you, the man, and the man cannot save his wife. But what it means is talking about influence. You can have that influence over somebody. And we know that. The Matthew 5:13 talks about believers being salt, being the salt of the earth. Salt has a preserving power. You know, we use salt to preserve things, and people did. And we're to be the salt of the earth. And so, actually, what the world don't realize, there's a lot of evil in the world, but I'm going to tell you something. Between the Holy Spirit and the empowering of the Holy Spirit in God's people, the people of God, we have and should have or supposed to have, we have an influence of holding evil back in an evil world. We should have that. We are actually it would be a lot worse. And I know during tribulation the Spirit's going to be taken out of the way, and it's going to be full blown wickedness. And then another thing, you know what? You can have an influence after you're gone. Huh? Remember that story in the Bible about Elisha? Elisha died and they buried him. And there was some men that it was a funeral and they was carrying the body and they saw the Midianites, I think, it was the enemy coming. And they said, man, they hadn't got to the tomb where they were going to put this man. And there was that Elisha's tomb, man. They lowered him down. Must have been down like a place in the ground. They lowered his dead body down in there, and it touched the body of Elisha's bones, and this guy came back to life. Elisha had some power in his old bones after he was dead. Now, we may not have that kind of power. If anybody's got that, just let me know. If I die, I'll get people, the pallbearers, to drop me off at your grave, drop me in. But here's the thing. But the thing is, we do have an influence. What we said, how we lived, and what we did. I remember my great-grandmother, man, she died in like 83, I think it was. But I remember as a little boy when I would go. And I have her Bible, and when it comes to Grandparents' Day, I told y'all, I'm going to bring her Bible. It's real fragile. She was born in 1889. And I stayed with her as a little boy some in the summer down in Grayson County. But I've got her old Bible. I said, man, on Grandparents' Day, I'm going to bring it in. I'm going to preach out of that Bible right there. I have to be careful with the pages and all. But I got that thing. But she took me, and I'd get ready to go to bed. And they call me Danny. She said, Danny, I'm going to give you this Bible here, and I want you to go in there. I want you to read a little bit. Now, she didn't know to tell me where to read. I was reading out there about how you couldn't, if it had fins and scales, and you couldn't eat it if it didn't have scales and had fins. I forget, it was all the dietary laws of the Hebrews. But I remember reading it, and I remember her faith, and I remember seeing how she was content, the most content person I ever knew. And I didn't know why. She didn't have money, poor, lived wood stove, cook stove, heat. The only place it was heat was in the kitchen. In the bedroom, you could see your breath, literally in the wintertime, you could see your breath, ice on the inside of the windows. But she was just content, and even as a kid, that stuck out in my mind. I didn't know what it was, but she knew the Lord, and now I know what it was. That was it. But so her life and any godly person's life will have an influence, and all of us are influenced by our parents. I can't stand little pieces of paper on the carpet. If I see one, I got to go, my mom did that to me. Blame her. But that's just the way she was. So we have influence long after our death, good or bad. But then we see a renewed influence. It talks about the carnal mind, the spiritual mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now, brother, after the world, well, what we've been living in this world right here, and all the influencers out there that are, they're just naming themselves that, and most of what they're influencing you in is not good. Some of it is, but not good. But Lord knows we need a renewed mind. we just need a renewed mind, or we at least have to be aware. And what I'm trying to get you to be aware of, how we can be manipulated so easy in our mind. COVID would be a great example of that. And so we need to renew our mind. And when our mind's renewed, it results in a transformed life. If you read the rest of Romans chapter 12, verse 2, if you read on down through there. Now, as I said, it's a daily experience. Every day. So what to do to be spiritually minded? Now, you know, first off, like I said, you've got to be saved. I mean, see what he said in verse 9. I stated that to you, and I'll reiterate that again. Now, if any man have not Christ, or the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. At salvation, God puts his Holy Spirit in us. We got it confirmed by the Word. You may not feel a thing. But when you trust in Christ, he gives us his Holy Spirit. And man, his Holy Spirit's like speaking to us and speaking to our mind as well. But here's the key, and over in Psalm 91, I almost use this for my text. I wanted to read it, but in Psalm 91, verse 1, it says this: He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Right there. This is the key to the spiritual life and the spiritual mind. There's two words there. He said, dwelleth, he that dwelleth. He that dwelleth, personal, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And so dwelling and abide, that means more than just a one-time visit or a once-a-week visit. This means constantly. The secret place, of course, is in Christ. And that means there's a constant awareness of His presence. Dwelleth and abide mean a continuous position. And abide means, that's what dwelleth means, and abide means a permanent accommodation. And now listen, we'll never be totally outside the world's influence. It may not influence us, but it'll try. See what I'm saying? The world, it's like I said, it's never going to stop. It's never going to stop. But we can find, and he talks about this secret place. And I think spiritually speaking, and what he's probably speaking about there is, he's talking about being, you know, dwelling with God. Of course, this is pre-New Testament, but yet those guys spoke things that would fit in the New Testament because God was directing what they said. But that secret place today is in Christ, and Christ in us. That's a secret place. But I think we still need a physical secret place. You know what you do? You need to get somewhere, leave the phone elsewhere, turn the TV off, get away from all the distractions someplace, and take a deep breath and meditate on some eternal things. Meditate on God. Meditate on God's Word. Meditate on yourself. Where are you spiritually? Where are you as far as salvation goes? Think about this. And Satan's going to try to distract you. He can get in there. Huh? I mean, it can be, your mind can still get off track. You know, you'll start thinking about something and man, you're down another rabbit trail in a New York second, man. I mean, but we can get back on that. And he mentioned there under the shadow of the Almighty, you know, to be in somebody's shadow, you got to be pretty close to them, don't you? Being under the shadow of the Almighty. And this battle for our minds. Listen, God is battling for your mind too. Saved or lost, God is battling for your mind. He's trying to get you to listen, just hear. Just listen to what He says. And here's some practical things I'll give you just to do that. You know, one, first off, you have to do is surrender yourself to God. Surrender yourself to God. Say, God, here it is. I'm going to listen to what you're doing. That you're going to be number one. You're going to be the priority, not everything else that's going on in the world. And not that there's things in the world we have to take care of. We just do. We got jobs, whatever you have. But God can still be in first place. He can still be in first place. Be in the Word of God. You say, well, man, I don't know that much about it. Listen, can you read? If you can't read, they got these Bibles. I got a Bible. I got a thing that the whole Bible's on CD. If you can find something to play it on nowadays, that's outdated. Guess you can get it downloaded now. Read the Word. You think, well, I don't understand it. Well, read what you got. Read what you don't understand. Read it and just say, God, I don't understand it, and see if he don't answer that prayer. Huh? Read the Word of God. Read it every day. Why? Because your mind is going to be under attack every day. Every day, that's not going to cease. And then guard what you think about. My pastor used to say this. He'd say, you know what? You can't help sometimes what comes in your mind. I had a dream the other night. This wasn't a bad dream. I mean, a negative dream as far as sinful things. It just dreamed about somebody that's been dead for years, and I hadn't thought about him for years. I told Sherry, I said, why don't Bobby Davey was the guy's name, grew up in Virginia Beach near us. He's a little older than me. And I dreamed I was in his living room. I've only been at once in my whole life. He had a garage out back that we always hung out at. But I was thinking, what made me dream about, I hadn't thought about him, hadn't talked about him, hadn't seen anything about him, just dreamed about this guy. Well, that shows you just how Satan can put something in your head out of the blue. But you don't have to let it stay in your head, right? So guard what you think about and what you focus on, and then listen to the Holy Spirit. So here's the thing, I'm almost done. Evaluate your mind. If it's carnal or spiritual. You have a carnal mind or a spiritual mind. Well, how do I know? I'll tell you. Where does your mind drift to in quiet times? I know some people think, what's a quiet time? Where does your mind drift to? And here's the test. Habitual focus reveals our eternal and present reality. Habitual focus. Now you got to focus to understand that sentence. Habitual focus reveals our eternal and present reality. That present reality of whether we are saved, if we are spiritually minded, and even as a saved person, a spiritually minded, or are we carnally minded? It's going to reveal that. Our habitual focus. It's going to reveal whether we have a carnal mind or a spiritual mind. But like I said, in the last thing, and in closing, I'll say this in our main text. The end of that, he said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Salvation is the very first thing. And now, here we go. Oh, preacher's going to have the invitation. And Satan's going to distract your mind, and he's going to say, you know you lost. You don't really need to get saved. He's going to throw everything under the sun. You don't need to get saved today. Do it next week. You're not going to walk down there and all them people down there and you're going to play on your pride. He's going to work on your pride. He's going to work on delay. You know, Satan, he doesn't always flat out lie to us. Or he's smart enough not to say, you know, the Word of God's not true. But he's great at telling you to put it off. Huh? How many of you know how to do that? I'm going to put it off. And he said, don't get saved today. So right now, you got a battle going on in your mind. And you're getting distracted. Oh, I got to get my purse together. Oh, I got to gather up my notebook. I got to get my Bible. Let me focus on this. Let me focus on that. When you ought to start thinking about your soul. Thinking about eternity. Amen? If God spoke to your heart today, you need to get saved. You come. Paul will lead us in an invitation song.
Our hymn of invitation this morning is hymn number 66, At Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my life.